Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This is part of being a young starting pitcher in the league and trying to make progress. As you have to get 15, 18 outs in a game, it's difficult. It's hard to see now, but there is growth happening. It's hard to like the growth when there's struggles going on. But that's where the best stuff comes from. So we just got to keep working on it and improve the quality of the execution. Keep going.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That, of course, Craig Counsell talking about Ben Brown. Mm-hmm. And that is, it's a very good way to look at it. I don't know that many people can feel that way as the game ends. But he's absolutely right, isn't he? Isn't that what you're after? You need 18 outs out of the guy.
Yeah, but you can't, again, you can't sacrifice the runs that he's giving up for the outs that you want him to get. Run preventers outweigh out getters. And if you were a developmental team and you were a team that was content with winning 83 games again for the third straight season, you could justify sticking with a guy who's struggling like Ben Brown. If you are the Cubs,
yeah,
you can't. You have different expectations. This is a different season. This is the season that your manager challenged your team executive, your team president, to give him a 90-win roster. And you have to stay consistent with that thought. So when you have Ben Brown, a young right-hander who is struggling mightily, and struggling with consistency, he can be lights out. And for a couple innings last night, you're like, wow, this is the guy that went toe-to-toe with Tarek Skubal in Detroit. And wasn't that a cool moment? This is the guy that struck out Ohtani. And this is the guy that shut down the Dodgers and looked so good against the Reds. And wow, he's also the guy that gave up 4 2-run home runs last night. And you can't tolerate that moving forward. You've got to have higher standards. You've got to do something in response. And if you're Craig Counsell, you can't announce that or declare that or indicate that right after the game, because you've got to be right here all the time.
Yeah.
Right in the middle.
He is that. He really is. I'm just saying, and listen, I'm under no illusions as to what happened last night and how bad it was. It was god-awful. And you got... you got beaten pretty good, and Dustin is right. It's a baseball season. There's 162 games. But that was sort of statement game from the Cardinals. They've thrown a gauntlet down.
It was the first time you saw your rival.
Respond. Yeah,
it was the first time
you played
them
this year, and they let you know that they're still your rival.
Empty ballpark or not, 100-degree conditions or not, whatever it was, it didn't matter to the Cardinals. They came there with an intent of roughing up a young pitcher who was susceptible to it. And you're right, making a statement for the first of a four-game series. Tonight, the Cubs can counter. Jameson Taillon is the right guy to have on the mound tonight.
He's your run preventer.
He is your run preventer, but he also is going to give up a couple of homers.
Yeah.
You watch. Tonight, he'll give up 2 home runs. He'll go 6 innings. It'll be the quality start that Dustin hates and rolled his eyes at right now. Oh, God. Why do you hate that so much? This is consistency that you don't have from other pitchers.
It's not a quality start when you allow home runs. That's not quality.
Runs are runs. What does it matter if you have a double and a single?
He allowed a lot of solo home runs.
Yeah, they're solo homers. And I'm the one who pointed it out.
4 2-run homers.
Well, let's see what happened. He said he was going to work on that he was finally aware that was an issue. He's had a week. Let's see how him and Tommy Hotovy did.
He was pretty good last time out, correct? Jameson Taillon wasn't bad. So I think that tonight is an opportunity for him to beat the Cardinals, or at least give the Cubs, put them in a position to win a game and turn it over to the bullpen for a pitching staff that needs a strong outing. They've really struggled. The last five games have been really something else with the Cubs pitching staff.
They've lost four of them.
You didn't expect it. They've lost four out of five.
That's right.
And it's a bad time to do it, but every team goes through this kind of stretch. I just think now if you're looking big picture, you can be Craig Counsell, even keeled, long season. The next game is the biggest game, and all we want is pitchers who can get out. All right? That's fine. Congrats. You've achieved the Zen-like approach that every manager needs. Now, if you're us, you're like, Ben Brown's got to go, and you need to win tonight, and you need to get back on track because the whole summer is dependent upon that.
Who needs to go more, Colin Ray or Ben Brown?
Ben Brown. Colin Ray is proven. He's a versatile major league swing guy. He can be somebody whose psyche isn't necessarily affected by moving to the bullpen. Ben Brown, and this is not, but
you just said it, moving to the bullpen. I'm not saying who needs to leave the roster, who needs to go down. I'm saying who no longer should start. And I would argue both of them.
I would think that both of them have
probably
done
Ray
very
over,
little
yeah.
in the last 5 weeks to justify staying in the rotation. Here's what we have to look at the numbers. Both have, in the last 48 innings for both guys, Colin Ray has a 5.92 earned run average. Ben Brown, 6.94, according to Cubs.com. Neither guy has been that effective over the last 48 innings. They haven't gotten – the outs that they have gotten have come with runs that they have given up. So give me run preventers over out-getters. Stop congratulating guys for getting into the sixth inning. That's what we have to get back to, I think, if you're the Cubs. And you're right. Both guys are susceptible to being replaced. It's just who you to replace them with. Shota comes back Thursday. Great. Welcome back. One guy's got to go. I wonder if the corresponding move will be Ben Brown going to Iowa. I just wonder if that's going to be the result.
He's got options.
Well, that's the thing.
He's got options.
Different. Yep.
He's got options, and you don't – but the thing is, you have to be – you can't be so casual, cavalier, as I just said it, because I know they won't be. We'll talk to Tommy Hotovy. Hopefully tomorrow is his regular hit with us. Ben Brown is somebody who, as you pointed out earlier in the show, Molly, works with mental skills coaches like a lot of players do now. You worry about his confidence in being sent down because it's a far cry. Pitching for the Iowa Cubs, far cry from matching pitch for pitch for with Tarik Skubal, the Cy Young winner in the American
familiar.
League. I mean, if you're pitching in Iowa – that's a big come down.
Yeah, but that's baseball. And there are thousands of examples of guys that have big roles and then they're down in the minor leagues. And then they come back up and they get their role back and everything's okay. I just don't think – I mean, listen, you know, there are different guys that are slumping. And that is just the reality of what's going on right now with the Cubs.
And then there's Pete Crow Armstrong, 2-for-3 last night, and he saved a home run, another great play in center field. He does something every night the way the great ones do that make you say, wow. And he is on quite a roll. And so you like what he supplied. And how there were some good spots last night. I know it was a dismal game to watch.
It was dismal.
How about the Carson Kelly hustling.
Down
the first baseline.
That was one of the best. Like, that is what you're supposed to do. But when you see a guy do it and they get a guy out because he's doing exactly what his job is, you want everyone to, like, stop, look at that. That's how that's supposed to be done. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. That was a heads-up play. That was a guy following and doing his job to perfection. That was great.
Yeah,
I actually stopped that and watched it again because
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I thought it was, let's take a listen.
To St. Louis.
Swinging a high pop fly shallow right. Coming in Tucker near the line. Can't get it. It's a base hit. There might be a play at first. The throw to the catcher, and Arenado is out. Kelly hustling down the first baseline. Followed the batter. Kelly right on the bag at first. Great play by Carson. And Arenado, a good 20, 25 feet beyond the bag, tried to jam on the brakes and fell down. And that Furler complicated his dilemma. And then he was out on a single, and then 9-2, a very unusual play.
It was indeed.
It's a great play.
So the first baseman kind of drifted out, Justin Turner.
Yeah, he went out. They were all running for the ball.
So it was out there, and it was kind of a blooper.
It falls between three guys.
Alert veteran, Carson Kelly, former Cardinal, by the way, he sprints down, and he's backing up the play. Arenado's caught in no man's land, essentially.
Arenado looked like he thought he could get a double on it and then realized that's not happening.
I'm not that fast.
And then he tried to hit the brakes,
yes,
and he goes down in a heap.
And
he pops back up, and he's out by a quarter mile.
It was an easy play.
Oh, my gosh.
All because of the hustle.
That's right.
All because of the heads-up play. That's a great catcher.
Yes.
That's a guy that when
he does that,
like, well, that's a guy that's going to be a manager one day. You know, that's a future that's a catcher that's going to be a future manager. Carson Kelly heads up, and that was nice. And at that point in time, you thought, well, the Cubs brought their A game, because that was a second inning. And you thought, all right, this is going to go pretty well. And then it didn't.
Yeah. Let's get to John. John's listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, John, that was good.
Hey, guys, I'm enjoying you. Two quick questions. What do the coach and the pitching coach say to these pitchers when they go out? Because they must be talking about Coca-Cola's. Because the next batter seemed to hit a home run, and then Ian Happ. Man, what are you doing, man? That's Little League what he's doing. Bases loaded. He saw the batter before him walk. And he hit the ground out on the first pitch. I'll hang up here.
Not laughing at you, just laughing at the frustration, because it is relatable. Ian Happ did exactly how you described it. But at the same time, he's coming off a game he just hit 2 home runs. So you're not too critical of Ian Happ coming into this Cardinals series, because you trust his judgment at the plate. That's why he's still batting leadoff. They trust his judgment to grind out at bats and to be the guy that every now and then will run into a long ball. And I didn't have a huge problem with Ian Happ.
No. No,
it's hard to quibble with what he's doing, even though I would love for the day to arrive when PCA is your everyday full-time leadoff hitter. I will keep harping on that until it happens. I just won't do it as frequently, but I do think that's going to be inevitably where he lands in the lineup, even though he's such a good run producer.
Yeah, you mentioned Turner 0 for 3 again.
Yeah.
And
not good.
And Matt Shaw he walked, I think, but he was 0 for 2.
Had a real nice play, though, defensively.
He did. He walked. Yep. He hit the ball hard once, and he did play good defense. I'm not as down on Matt Shaw as some people are. I know that he has leveled off, and certainly I don't think he's regressed to the point where he was before they sent him down. I don't think he's there. He's not on a Colson Montgomery-like slump.
He's in a slump.
He's in a slump?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in a slump.
Yeah.
Nobody's denying that.
He's not in a Colson Montgomery-like slump.
Yeah.
So, in other words, he is, as a starting third baseman in Major League Baseball for a team that's leading its division, he's doing okay, as opposed to a guy that is in AAA and had been sent to Arizona and has been...
Well, Matt Shaw is playing first base or third base for a first-place team. And he's playing the defensive portion of it very well. I do think he's struggling at the plate in a Colson Montgomery-like way, but I do think that...
Send him down.
I don't want to send him back down. I think my criteria and their patience level should be different for Ben Brown and Matt Shaw. I think it's all about your alternative. You have a better alternative when it comes to Ben Brown than you do at third base with Matt Shaw.
What about if you're starting Vinny Capra and you got Colson Montgomery rotting on
now
the
to the White Sox? Yeah. No, Colson Montgomery is in a slump, as Chris Getz did allude to before the game. In all seriousness, this is it's a serious situation because Colson Montgomery is hitting 135 in his last 15 games. So they can't send him back to Arizona. I think the Camelback spot is all booked.
I don't know.
I don't think he can go back there.
You know, could they send him to Birmingham?
No.
Did he spend enough time in Birmingham?
No.
So if he has stopped
It's a conundrum. It's a conundrum.
I mean, he seems, and I'm being honest, I'm not trying to be mean, he seems more like a double-A player than a triple-A player, let alone a major leaguer.
Well, the only thing that really matters, not to everything that, about what you just said, is that he's not. He doesn't look like a major leaguer.
Well, he doesn't look like a triple A player.
Well, he did though for a short period of time.
Very short period of
time. Yeah, it was a small sample size, but at least he has proven he can hit triple A pitching, and now he's slumping again. Now he needs to have another resurgence, but he's never proven he can be a major league hitter.
I don't know that he's ever proven he can hit triple A pitching. Seriously.
He's hinted at that.
The best he's done since going to triple A was in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that gave them a belief that thank God he got beyond that horrible year last year during our spring ball, and now he's ready to be a major league shortstop. And that isn't the case
yet. It's not the case. He's not there yet.
I thought they were going to bring him up. I think they wanted to bring him up.
They have a team with 10 rookies. Of course they wanted to bring him up.
But he hasn't.
Of course they would love to bring him up.
They
can't bring him up.
He struggled. They sent him to Arizona. He came back and did better. And now you're telling me 15 games he's been batting. What is it?
135.
That's not good, man.
No. And you can't promote somebody who's hitting 135 in the last 15 games. Now, by the same token, you wonder, how can the Cubs play Matt Shaw at third base, who's hitting 150 over his last 15 games? Different situation. I think Matt Shaw has proven in glimpses, in small sample sizes, that he can hit. I just don't know what he's done to maybe start to go the other way. He's got to rediscover what worked when they brought him back from Iowa. And thankfully for the Cubs, it's not affecting his defense, because that's why I think he's still in the lineup.
I agree.
He's a defensive certainty. And he gives them that kind of security that your pitchers want and need. But you can't survive on this all season long.
But you were the guy who said yesterday that you were, you know, that your priorities were get a starting pitcher.
Same.
But you thought they could do with a veteran third baseman.
Well, I think they're going to be looking.
Yes.
Ryan McMahon, we have a texter, says, I don't think Eugenio Suarez is available.
No.
I don't think he's going to be available, because the Diamondbacks are not in sell mode. That's the problem. They're going to leave Chicago in a couple days with two more victories maybe. And they're going to be a team that feels like they can
maybe
be buyers rather than sellers.
He also got hit in the hand last night, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't. It didn't look good.
Did not look good. We have any results on that
X-ray
MRI?
X-ray is negative, but still, I'd be shocked if he played tonight.
Yeah, it's pretty fast. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, and I don't think I would be dangling Matt Shaw in any trades.
Oh, I wasn't suggesting
that. I said the texter suggested
it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that.
No, I wouldn't do that.
I think he's going to be okay.
But my priorities remain the same. Starting pitching, starting pitching, starting pitching. You need an ace. You need a top of the – that may be overstating it. You need a guy who's capable of being a top of the rotation starter.
You know, you'd like an ace. You've got a third in Taillon. You need, if not a first, another second. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not sure Shota is a number one, but he's a one or two. And you need another guy as good as Shota Imanaga.
Focus should remain on Sandy Alcantara, a former Cy Young Award winner. Regardless of what he did in April and May, start to focus on what he's done his last five or six starts. He is a guy that could project as your ace and fit very nicely Alcantara 1, Shota 2, Tyon 3, Boyd 4, Horton 5. That, to me, would be a rotation you can win the division with, you can contend for a pennant with, and a team that would be there to be reckoned with.
Well, you know who's got a deal coming?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.